And that Christians are different. And the first lesson talked about the idea of we're different because we are told to think differently. And yet sometimes we realize that people may sometimes surprise us. Have you ever been around somebody, maybe for an extended period of time, and been really surprised finding out that that person is a religious person? Now, some people are very good at hiding their Christianity. I remember in high school, we moved my junior year, and the homeroom I was in, about all of us were T's, and that's kind of how they separated us. And I noticed one day I went out to play basketball. One Saturday, we stayed up there in Louisville, and I went to play basketball at the local high school, and there was a guy that was in my homeroom. And so I talked to him a little bit, and we played a little bit of basketball, and then the next day he was at the church that we went to, Shively Church Christ. And I was really surprised, partly because of being around him Saturday, I heard some of his language. And if somebody had told me that that was a member of the church, I would have doubted that very seriously. But I found out that a lot of times that is the case. I remember being in college in a dorm there, and whether or not they were real Christians was highly debatable, but certain people would maybe tell me later on how religious they were. I was very surprised by that, again, because of the lifestyle they were living. I didn't know Christians lived like that. And so we could talk about the idea of being sanctified. We could talk about being washed by the blood of Jesus, of thinking differently. But really, when it comes right down to it, there is something else that's supposed to make us different. And this is where the pavement meets the road, so to speak, and that is we're to be different because we are living differently also. And as you think about this, Christians are to be theology in action. I guess that's how I phrase this here. And that is we can talk about the Bible, we can fill out the phrases or the blanks in the word book, but realize that there is supposed to be more to us than that. And that is that the Bible says that we are to be of influence. And the way you influence the world and people around you is by being different than everybody else around you. When Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about his disciples, he prayed, and we've read this passage before, I'm sure. But in Matthew 5, verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then we think about the idea of salt, and we realize it has a lot of good qualities behind it. Salt is something that preserves. People have in times past, especially before refrigeration, and they would use it so that it's to preserve meat and to keep things fresh. Salt also can purify. It helps to purify the body. And we also think about salt in the sense that it melts. It can melt ice, and that makes things taste different than normal. And so salt has a lot of good qualities about it. And he said, we aren't to be like that. We aren't to be the salt of the world. Again, influence for the positive things that we can talk about and how we teach other people. And in fact, a lot of times when you look at here, he also talks about the light of the world. And we understand that, again, people are drawn to light. They look at where the light is. And you know, a lot of times what impressed me about people is how they live. I may not know your theology. In fact, a lot of people around us may not know anything about the Bible. But what they do see is going to have influence on them. If they see somebody that's happy, if they see somebody that is living a pure life, if they see somebody that helps other people, they may be very impressed by that. In fact, I haven't seen these commercials for a long time now, but it used to be the Church of Christ Latter-day Saints. I would normally call them Mormons. It used to be they would have commercials on television. And those commercials was not, again, about the Pearl of Great Price. It was about the Book of Mormon. They didn't talk about their beliefs about the priest or anything like that. But the commercials were basically lifestyle commercials. They showed good families. They showed people that care about each other. They showed people that were happy. And you know, for a time period there, the Church of Christ Latter-day Saints was the largest growing religious group in our nation. I dare say that's not true anymore because other groups come in and have kind of changed also how they advertise, but it just impressed me the fact that their method of influencing, of actually opening doors, was by talking about their lifestyle. And you know, I have an uncle that's actually, he and his family are members of that group. I won't call them denomination, but they are a part of the Mormon religion. And I would tell you that if I'm on the outside just looking at happy people, of people that are concerned about each other, that impresses me about that group. Well, so that's the way we are to be also in the world around us. So that people recognize we are different, and therefore they want to know more about us. Also, he says that Christians are to be different in the sense that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We hear that phrase sometimes. And what does that really mean, though? To be in the world, but not of the world. Well, Jesus talked about us in that sense. In John, the 15th chapter, in verse 19, he says, if you were of the world, in other words, if you were just like the rest of the world, he said, the world is of its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, he's specifically here talking to the apostles, those who would be persecuted later on. But realize, he's saying something to them that's very powerful, and that is that, again, we have to live here. That we do live. He didn't say, okay, go out there and build monasteries. Go out there and isolate yourself from everybody else. Go and have your own separate gated community. No, when we think about what he just said in Matthew 5th chapter, verse 13 through 16, for a salt to have any influence, it has to come in contact with something else. It has to come in contact with the meat, or it has to come in contact with the ice to do anything. And for the light to be able to be shining, it has to be out there. He said, don't hide it. Let other people see your light. So the idea, again, is that we are going to be surrounded by the world. And that's exactly where he said we want to be. That's where he wants us to be. And so we think about this, again, we understand that we are to think differently than everybody else in the world, but eventually that thinking shows up in how we act. It's a cycle, isn't it? The way we think influences how we act, and the way we act influences the way we start thinking. And so he said, if you start thinking, eventually that starts taking over in your action. So he said, we have to be like that. We live in this world, but we are not to be of the world. And then also we think about theology and action in the sermon.